Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen.
We bless the Lord for you calling. We ask that God continue to be with you. We are in services of International Prayer Center. We look forward to God doing a wonderful work in your life as we enter into one more selection of praise and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father. Oh, God, we come before you this morning as humble and as grateful and expecting things, Lord God, as we know how, oh, God. Father, there is a great expectation on your church today, oh, God. And, Father, I ask that you allow your glory to just consume us today, oh, Father. Father, I ask, oh, God, that the spirit that you possess for us, oh, God, just overtake us, oh, God. And Father, we ask that you continue to consume those things, oh, God. Father, we ask that you revive us like never before, oh, God. And Father, I ask, oh, God, that every word that will be uttered from my lips, oh, God, be received by your people, God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, oh, God, to come before you, oh, God, to be used in this great work, oh, God. And I bless you, oh, God, oh, Father, for this great church, oh, God. And I bless you, oh, God, for the great people of this church, oh, God. Now, Father, I ask that you continue to use me as your vessel, O God, and may the oracles of my mouth, O God, be received by the hearts of your people. This and all things I ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God. Giving honor to God who is head of my life. Amen. Amen. This is an honor to our spiritual father, our bishop, Bishop James Franklin. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to those that have set forth the foundation, Apostle Clarence Rush, Chief Apostle Clarence Rush. Amen. Amen. And giving honor to the prelay bishop that will be presiding with us, the very one, Bishop Tyrone Smith. Amen. I bless the Lord for our prophet, our prophetess, our deacon, our ministerial board, amen, the laymen of International Prayer Center, amen, every auxiliary within us, our treasury department, our secretaries, amen. I bless the Lord for each and every one of you. Certainly, I miss you, prophetess Pamela King. May the Lord continue to be with you. May his endeavors overtake you, and may the snares of the enemy get behind you, amen. Amen. I bless the Lord even for our youth being in here today. May the grace of the Lord overtake them. Hallelujah. I bless the Lord for correction and rebuking. Amen. Rebukeness, not rebuking. Rebukeness. Why? Because it makes us a better source. Amen. When I walked into this place, I saw God. And not because I saw God in this place, but I saw God in you. That made a difference. I sat there and I shed a few tears and I said, my God, how I missed this. It took us back. Amen? Amen. Kind of reminded of that song when it says, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Amen? Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I won't go there, amen. I won't go there. I'm gonna be still and behave. But that's how I feel on the inside this morning. That everything that God has done, his mercy still overtakes us. Amen. I heard Minister Javillion reading to your hearing St. Luke chapter 9 and those verses. Amen? But I'm going to ask that each person, amen, someone find verse 57 through 58. Then another will find verse 59 through 60. And as I instruct, please read out the word of God. Amen? Another will find verse 61 through 62. But as I will start, amen, God has given me something in dealing with his church. And Christ has said to me that this is my church and there is structure in my house. And for those that are willing to follow me, that there is a cost. Amen? Somebody say there's a cost. Amen? Searching back into the scripture, amen, I was looking at this, and I said, well, my God, what is it that you have for your people? And he instructed me to even step back into verses 48. And back in verse 48, it said, and I said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receive me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth the one that sent me. For this is the least among you, as the same shall be great. I also was having this conversation with God, but he showed me. He said, and John answered and said, Master, we shall one casting out the devils in thy name, and we shall forbid him because he followed not with us. That means that you can't do this because you weren't going with us. You can't be a part of this because you wasn't with us. But now, listen to what Christ said. He said, forbid him not, for he that not against us is for us. It doesn't mean because he wasn't walking with us, doesn't mean he didn't have the same vision that we had. We're here together, right? We're here together, amen? Because they are not a part of the International Prayer Center, doesn't mean they're not going in the same direction we're going. I'm going somewhere today, amen? But then it came to pass that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly stayed in his faith to Jerusalem. That means I'm going somewhere. There is a designated place that I got to get to, amen? And sent the messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of, amen? He entered into this village, amen? What was happening in this time? Luke records for us a passage, an account of three men. Three men. Somebody say three men. Whom Jesus met as he traveled along his way. His disciples, those men who declared that they would wish to follow Christ and to become his disciples. Some people say, you know what, Pastor, no matter where you go, I'll be there with you. I'll follow you. Amen? Amen. Don't lose me, church. Now, there are others that actually are summoned and or appointed. Somebody with you today? Amen? What immediately strikes me in this way is that when Christ handles these inquirers, and I think that in Luke's reasoning of recording these details, that they are meaning. Most men with a call are busy, and they are trying to be recruited as many as they can. There are so many pastors, amen, and leaders that are actually out there trying to recruit members for their church. Now, I need to get you somewhere. I'm okay with recruiting members for my church, but I'm more inclined to recruit those that really have a heart of God. Amen? What is happening now is that I'm seeing new members that are coming into the house of God. But what I need to understand is that when they come into the house of God, are they coming in because of our relationship, or are they coming in because of their relationship with God? I'm going somewhere, saints. Oh, it'll be sick. Here it is. It's natural that it's what we expect to see, but Jesus is radically different in his approach. He seems to spend a great deal in trying to dissuade the men from following after him, or at least that's what it looks like. Amen? Now, a minister friend of mine was sharing with me recently his advice and giving me the things that we should do in the old age church and how we are to coincide with one another. Amen? And one of the things that he said to me is, Pastor, what we need to understand is we need not be concerned with the numbers of the church, but we need to be more concerned with the hearts of the church. This I can actually understand. But now, strangely as it seems, because we are wanting to promote ministry, and we are wanting to allow ourselves to be a great ministry, the thing is that that is a Christ a quite strange statement. Because if I want more, or I want the church to grow more, that means numbers, then how am I not to be concerned with the numbers? Strange, isn't it? What I understood is that when the numbers that are existing begins to change their heart and consider what it's going to take to get there. Somebody missed that. When I consider what's in the heart of man, and they consider what it's going to take for me to be unified in the body of Christ, they're going to count it all cost. Tell your neighbor, I'm counting it all cost. Hallelujah. Now, clearly, the only thing that is happening right now is that Christ is letting them know, listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to be a part of me. But I want you to consider some things. Amen? Hallelujah. Friends, my desire is to see as many as possible come to Christ. And I pray to see them come in the hundreds or the thousands. Amen? I'm not saying I want us to remain this personal ministry that we are. But personal as it may be, as long as we have enough leaders, we're able to touch those in a multitude. Am I right about it? But I don't just want to get a crowd. Hear this. That doesn't interest me at all. I need you to understand that. I want to see the men and women and the young people and the boys and girls turning to Christ with their whole heart and becoming true sold-out disciples of the Master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means we want to make a great impact. Anybody ever actually seen the scientists when they actually seen the comet coming down into the earth? And as this comet begins to come down and it begins to enter the earth's rim, all of a sudden there's an impact so hard that it just, even the smallest stone will create miles and miles of tribulation. It disturbs the earth rim. It disturbs the ground. It disturbs the home. It disturbs everything around them. I want IPC to be that impact. I want us to come and shake up some things. Amen? I want us to come into this atmosphere and just come down and just disturb something, shake up some stuff. Amen? And also, it is interesting in reading of Jesus and the way that he's dealing with those who express the desire to follow him. He seems to be trying to discourage them, but in reality, he desires for the people to follow him. Now, he wants them to think about this first, to count all the costs that is involved. So that once they do follow him, they would never turn back. Tell your neighbor, I ain't going nowhere. Amen. Even as he found out what is required in such a clear and shocking term inside, he is longing for them to accept it. He's rooting for them, but the cost is just the cost. Ain't no side street, ain't no negotiation. It is what it is. It's straight up, it's to the point. The gospel is the gospel. Amen. He said, I am the same today, tomorrow, and amen. And they must be prepared for it. Anybody ready? Anybody ready? Hallelujah. Now, would you look with me this morning to the three men who confronted with God his demands and considered with me the type of cost? If I had to add a subject to where we're going, Jesus paid the cost to be the boss. Amen? I need that verse, 57 and 58. Amen? Thank you. Now, this is a quite bold statement in this one to make it. I will follow you wherever you go. Do you really mean that? For God I live, for God I die. I follow God because God, I know God's not going to lead me in any destruction. He's not going to lead me in any crossroad. Amen? Can you say that without any idea of where Jesus will be headed? Well, I'm not sure if I really want to follow Pastor, because somebody told me she was up under the bridge and passing out food, and, you know, you're not really sure about those people under there and what their expectations are and what they're going to do to me. So, I'm not really sure about it, but I'll think about it. I'm not really ready to the hospital of me walking up and down the hallways, but I might catch something. But I'll think about it. So what Christ was saying is, before you do all of what you say you're going to do, before you open your mouth and say, wherever you go, I'll follow you, you better think about this. Before you say, I'm with IPC, or I'm a part of this organization, you better think about this. Because there are some things we're going to have to do. I didn't get too many amens on that one. Amen? My God. Now, perhaps we need some more information about where you're going first. Amen? I can imagine that that's some of the thought process. But this is what the man said. He said, wheresoever thou goest. Lord, wherever you go, I'm there. Amen? And then we are still willing to follow him. All well and all is good. Wherever you go, God, I'll be there. It's all good. I got your back. Whatever you want to do. Pastor, whatever you do, I got your back. But Pastor found herself doing it by herself. Watch out, somebody. I'm stepping on some toes. I pray I am. I pray that I am. So I need you to count the cost. That when you say what you say, you do what you say. This is what Christ was telling the disciples. Listen. You're making a bold statement now. Watch this. Jesus replied that to follow him wherever he is going will not be an easy road. He's not one of these fly-by-night rabbis or this jet out of jet or how would you say, distinguished theologians that will just sit down and manifest and give you the word of God, and I need you to make sure that every time the doors of the church open, you have a check for $500. That's not who Christ is. That's not who Christ is. And that's not who he designed us to be. Amen? What he is a faith base. Cast only your cares to me. That was the word from last week. Give me everything, and I'll make it right for you if you give me everything. Faith. I can hear the word saying the faith of a mustard seed. Amen? A faith. A very small, very little. But he had a faith ministry. Amen? Now, when Jesus stepped out of his throne in glory to come to the earth and live and die for us, he left behind all that he had. He had exchanged his wealth for poverty. He had exchanged all of those things that were paved in ivory in this palace into rules and cattle places. Amen? He exchanged his rulership for servitude. Anybody with me? He gave it all up. He gave it all up. Now listen to what he said. He said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now what an irony in that, that I stepped down from glory. From glory to glory, we go higher and higher. But he stepped down from glory into this rude place. Amen? He apparently, amen, knew that he was going to be giving up something. We're talking about leaving the throne of the universe. Now, that doesn't even have a place to call home. I left this beautiful place. I put this aside because I said, God, send me, I'll go. I'll allow myself to be that sacrifice for your people. Amen? He has no earthly security, and he's loaned, amen, accommodations by those who loved him. They better have some friends to loan you some money or loan you a place to stay or do some things for you, you know. Come on, somebody. Anybody been in that place? Somebody them been there to do something for you, loan you something or give you something, amen. Now let me tell you about this man that we're talking about this morning. He borrowed a coin so that he can tell a story. Rent unto Caesar, what it do unto Caesar? This is Caesar's money. Amen. He borrowed a donkey so he can ride into Jerusalem and fulfill the prophecy. Amen. Why? He was even buried in a tomb that wasn't even for him. It didn't even belong to him. Come on, somebody. Now, he had nothing. Oh, but I can see his glory shining in these scriptures right now. He gave us all when he came, and he stood by you, and he stood by me. Anybody understand that today? I gave up everything for you. I sacrificed my whole being so that you might be saved. Amen? And for those who would follow him must be prepared for the same road. Listen to this. This is very vital. There is no ultimate security. Now, no, I haven't said that there was no security. There is no earthly security. Amen? Now, listen. There is security in following Jesus Christ. But it's not any earthly security. I'm going to hammer that in. There is no earthly security. Amen? It is not security of possessions, money, homes, and such things. Amen? The only security of God is his faithfulness and of the life beyond the one that we are living. The security that we have is not in this earthly realm. The security as living as saints of God is in the third heaven. Somebody say the third heaven. Hallelujah. It doesn't belong here. We don't belong here. This is just a place that is designed to create us into a practice habit that when we enter into the third realm, we know how to conduct ourselves. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, though the Christians have nothing in his name, come on, he, as the believer of his God, amen, there is no life here for him to live. Yet he is more secure than the richest man and the richest man that has all the power in the world. I'm good. Anybody say, you know, you got confidence? My issue right now is I'm a little cakey. So I got some little insecurities about my folds and my... Somebody with me? But Christ had no problems. He had no issues. Even knowing that there were kings of kings and lords of lords that dwelled in the earth. But he was secure. I never seen a man walk with his head up. He got two nickels to rub together. But he's a bad brother. My God. But the followers of Jesus had no earthly security. Say, I ain't got nothing. Amen? If you're going to follow Jesus and walk his road, it may well cost you everything. Just count the cost. Hallelujah. But remember the words of Jesus elsewhere. He said, whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. You let go everything because of me. You just found eternal glory. Mm-hmm. Somebody read 59 through 60 for me, please. Mm-hmm. Wow. So now here, there's no earthly ties. There's no earthly ties. There's no earthly ties. Since we didn't have no security, amen, we ain't worried about none of that. It's not about us. But now you're telling me that I don't have to have no earthly ties. So someone found it strange for the preacher, the woman preacher, that actually gave life to the seed that God had planted within her, said, I don't care nothing about no children and their attitudes and their stinking ways. Let them go on about their business. If they die, yeah. But if God is our shepherd, I hope we'll see. See, we're learning something today. Amen? Here we have this conversation that we're actually witnessing, where God called this man to be his disciple, but then he begged to go back to bury his father first. Now, doesn't that seem a little reasonable that, you know, listen, I just lost my father, man, and I need to go and take care of this. I want to go with you, but I got some things that I got to do first. Pastor, I want to be with you, but see, I got catering to do. Watch this. I'm dealing with you now. I got doctor's appointments. I got to go to work. I got to go to my kid's school. I got to pay some bills. I want to go with you. Oh, do what you do, Holy Spirit. But I got some things to do first. Mm-hmm. Thing is good this morning. My God. Now, here you would have a certain level of sympathy for this man because you can understand in your own being that you got to do. Amen? So you kind of sympathize that when you just got to do what you got to do, I got things I got to do, so you're going to own, Pastor. We kind of sympathize with what this man is saying to Christ. But now Christ replies, and he said, let the dead bury their own dead. I called you to preach for me right now. But now if you believe that I am the Christ, the resurrection one, the one that has all power, why would you be concerned with the things that are already dead? Some things that can't bring you no life. We take our earthly riches and put them in things that can't give us no glory. Oh, do what you do, Holy Spirit. We invest everything, our entire life, our very being, in what we love. But what about the one that sacrificed for us? I heard Minister Javillion say that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, who can ever believe in him? I heard that in my spirit this morning, and I heard it across the airways today. We're talking about this God that gave everything for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, friends, the point Jesus is making here is, and no one, make no mistake about it, it is that you are going to follow Christ, then claim for his victory and his kingdom and become a man or allow yourself to be attached to him. But now watch this. Anything and anyone else cannot attach themselves to God if you can't leave alone your earthly ties. In this, let me take this a step further. Jesus said elsewhere that whosoever loved his father, now this is in the scripture, not where we are right now, whosoever loved his father and his mother more than me is unworthy of me, and whosoever loved his sons and his daughters more than me is not worthy of me. Now let's get this picture understood right now that God is calling for not a church that will put others before him, but a church that will put him before all things. He's not calling us to dishonor our parents or to shirk our responsibilities to our families, but if we are pressed into a choice between the two, Christ comes first. I'm talking to somebody today. God has been dealing with me all week long. All of these things that when I remember talking to Bishop Smith on the phone, I said, you know what I realized? I've been spinning my wheels being busy doing nothing. I've been been so busy that I've been busy doing nothing. What I thought Christ was pleased with, as I step back and I look back, scripture says that when you look back, let a man examine himself. And when I look back at what's happening to God's church, is this my reason or offering or sacrifice unto God? Speak, Holy Spirit. The follower of Jesus had no unlimited tithes, so Jesus said, leave it behind. That ain't what I said. That's what Christ said. Amen? He said, leave it behind. Somebody say, leave it behind. Leave it behind. Amen? Let me cast a little further light on this conversation. When this man says, let me first go bury my father, it might have helped us to even understand the impact of the Jewish practice. What happens when a man or woman dies? They bury the body, but then a year later, they go back, roll it up, get the bones, gather them together, place them inside their pocket or in the tomb of the wall. Now get this. If the man's father just died, when you came to Christ, is, I'm going to follow you, but I need you to help me. Give me some time so that I can go back, put my father where he belongs. So now you're asking God, I'm going to get with you, but give me about a year to get this right. I ain't saying I ain't no follower. I'm not saying I'm not a believer. I'm not saying I'm not delivered from some things, but just hold on for a minute. You inconsiderate individual, how dare you have enough conversation with God to say, wait a minute, let me go back and handle this. Anybody with me today? Anybody with me today? My God. So now you're asking God for another year. I'm just indulging myself in this conversation. Because assuming that this man is a Jewish man and he's following Christ, because Christ is a Jewish man, amen? And so we know that Jews was around Jews at this time. So now, I'm not ready, Pastor. You know, I'm just trying to get myself together. I'm trying to change my life. You know, I ain't where I used to be, but, you know I got a little bit more to go. So just let me work this out. Let me handle myself. And, you know, I'll let you know when I'm ready. I can almost hear this exact conversation ringing throughout all ministries, even amongst the ones that are sitting in the house of God. I'll let you know, I'm not ready yet. God help us all. So we are asking God to give us a little more time. We're asking God to be a little more sensitive to what we are doing. Watch this to ourselves. Because oftentimes our situations that are causing us all of this grief, all of this headache, all of this havoc are all by our own doing. Somebody said I did it on my own. I give the devil too much credit. Say it. Now he likes taking credit. If I didn't even do the work and I can sit back and get the glory from it, I'm good with that. That's how he operates. And we give it to him. But the Bible says you either love one or you hate the other. Amen? You can't go in between. You can't deal with God like that. Bible also reminds me that he is a jealous God. And that we're not to put any other gods before him. Now let me take that a step further. Any other gods, any other jobs, any other houses, any other race cars. I'm talking to all y'all up in this joint. Nothing goes before God. Not your children, not your wives, not your husbands, not your church, not what you call your personal ministry, not you call your friends, your mothers, your fathers. Nothing comes before God. Now you can put a pin in that. That's a little nugget for you. That's free. You take that home. You can't take it to the bank, but you can use that everywhere you go. Nothing comes before God. Say it with me. Nothing comes before God. I remember one of the preachers said, that's free. The rest of this you're going to have to pay for. Amen? Jesus said to him, leave it behind and follow me. Now, I hear young people always saying, I got things to do. You know, my schoolwork comes first. I'm in band, I'm in dance, I'm in practice, I'm in choir. If you start, parents, changing the mindsets of your children, their behaviors will start changing in class. And maybe the teachers say, you know what, they're really good. They ain't even got to be here. So I'm all right with that. Uh-oh. But we even allow our children to become lackadaisical in the things of God. Y'all kind of quiet. I don't know if I'm throwing some stones. I can hear the old people say, hit the dog, walk. Amen? Even get to the point where we put our careers before. I'm on school right now. The church is not really on my assignment to do list. You know, but I got bigger things, and I believe that God wants to excel me, and I believe that he's going to educate me beyond my measures, but I'm going to put my education first. Yeah, I can imagine you being real studious about this thing and, you know, holding yourself real pride about it. I can imagine that. I got to go to work. You know, I'm not really ready for this right now. But as soon as your grades drop, as soon as you start losing finances, the grant money you thought you was going to get to fund that career didn't come through. The financial aid was stopped, and now you got to pay for your own books, and now you don't understand how you're going to use that grant money to buy a car because now you can't buy a car because the grant money didn't come through. I'm talking to somebody right now. We expect a lot of things from God and God to deliver on us, amen, but we don't want to do nothing for God. I'm going to even take this a step further and say you even want to attach yourselves with the people of God so that you can keep being blessed by God, but you still don't even want to sacrifice some things for God. Mm. Tell your neighbor, I'm counting the cost. Amen. Now, friends, if God is calling you to follow him, to commit your life to Christ, or to take up your ministry for him, or whatsoever it may do, his call comes first. Say he comes first. No excuses must be allowed to hinder you. Now, the follower of Jesus has no earthly ties because Christ said, leave it behind. Now I need someone to read 61 through 62.
Uh-huh.
Well, now we're talking to this third man. This third man is pretty much describing us that there are no distractions. Say no distractions. Amen. Again, this doesn't mean that it's like a reasonable request, amen, or it doesn't mean that it is not a reasonable statement that these men are asking this of God, but would you deny a soldier from going home for his last chance to bid his loved ones farewell or goodbye? Would you say, no, you know, go ahead on, say bye, you know, go ahead on. I want you to make ends meet in case something happens. That's a reasonable request, amen? But now watch this. Christ clearly spells it out, the cost of following him. Sir, you've already declared that you are ready to follow me. You picked up the plow, but now watch this. If you put it down, now because of your hankering after your family went back home, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. What is Christ saying? Don't look back. You mean to tell me, you know, just because they had a little argument, Pastor don't want to have nothing to do with her children? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because I get this. I understand this word, this gospel, this instruction with my whole being. What is this word telling me? Everything I need is wrapped up in Christ. Why don't you spend time with your regular biological family? If they're holding on to earthly things and worldly things that mean me no good, I bid it adieu. Goodbye. Watch this. When Peter, James, and John followed Christ, they literally dropped their fishing nets and they went after him. All right, now here it looks like the business was picking up. Fish was everywhere. All around them. And no matter what, they dropped what they was doing, and they went for Christ. The master had called. Christ is actually speaking to your heart, but because of your own personal endeavors or your own personal indulgence and your own personal desires and your own personal wants and needs, you ignore the voice of God. But you say, I'm walking this race. I'm going to follow this race. Did you count the cost? Did you consider what you had to let go? Now, watch this. If you're going to follow Christ, there must be no going back. Another reason why we count the cost first. Because, see, if we realize what we're going to give up or what we're going to lose, we can't go back again. Because once you attach yourself to the things of God, you got to stay with the things of God. Because you don't want to be considered that backslider. Somebody say, I'm not the backslider. Now, another way Jesus put it, amen, it was like this. Which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate what it takes to put it together? Now, to see this enough is not to just complete it. But otherwise, when you lay down the foundation and you're not able to finish it, all you would allow yourself is to be ridiculously ridiculed about the things that, look at that building, it's unfinished. They didn't find out what it was going to take to finish it. They didn't understand what it took to put it together. Come on, somebody. I believe I'm living in my house because I counted up the cost. I knew what it was going to take to get there. I knew how much it took to get it. I knew what kind of time it took for us to get there. Come on, somebody. We got to figure out, amen, when God said that you are going to pick up your cross and follow him, you need to understand what it's going to cost to get with you. Otherwise, you look like an unfinished building standing there alone with bricks and sand falling off you. And somebody said, did you consider this cost? Did you tell the people of God, Pastor McCray, what it was going to take, what sacrifices they were going to have to make to follow me? Oh, do what you do, Holy Spirit. Did you tell them what they were going to have to leave behind in order to be safe for my kingdom? Ah, hey, God. Now, the true follower of Jesus allows no earthly distractions. Say, no earthly distractions. He ain't got nothing in the way. I ain't got no problems. I ain't got no situations. I don't have no husbands, no wives, no children, no jobs, no responsibilities. My only responsibility is to worship the Lord. My only responsibility is to serve here on earth unto God. Okay. That's your only responsibility. Now, is he allowing you all the earthly things in order to accomplish this? Absolutely. I don't need you to be naive with this, but I need you to understand there is a thin line. Let me just paraphrase for you. It's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line to say that you're crossing over and you're following God, but then your actions don't show that. Very thin line. The Bible says, your mind says you love me, but your heart is far from me. My God. Now watch this, IPC. Jesus' words are strong right here. Now, here is what it will cost you to follow Jesus. What is it going to cost? In short, it's going to cost you everything. Anybody get that? Did you get that, Sister Clayton? It's going to cost you everything. All that you have. Somebody say all. Oh. Hallelujah. My God. He calls for us to commit ourselves completely unto him, or unto your Holy Spirit, and hold nothing back. Amen. All there is a picture of this authentic Christian standing here ready to surrender everything unto God. Amen. Now watch this. The follower of Jesus. Jesus said, no earthly security. Somebody say, no earthly security. No earthly ties. No earthly distractions. Jesus said to the first man, count it all costs. Then he said to the second man, leave it behind. And then he said to the third man, don't look back. What is saying to you this morning? Well, if you heard it, amen, and you counted all the cost of God, you might as well say, who did and whosoever will consider to follow him? Well, listen to what it is. Well, perhaps the answer is that you should briefly consider the cost to follow him. What is the cost to follow him? Eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. Eternal glory. No guidance or meaning in this life, and no opportunity to glorify God. You just missed the mark. You just missed it. I was watching the movie the other day, amen, and it was considering the rapture. We spoke about the rapture a couple of years ago. Everything looked strange to you. And you was wondering, did it just happen? Until you called Pastor and she was still here. Sometimes we'll get caught off guard and the rapture will just come in and you wouldn't even know who's left behind. But when you realize there's some missing folk in your life and you knew that they were true disciples, you realize, I just missed. Say it with me. Jesus paid the cost to be the boss. Hallelujah. Amen. We just missed it. Because we don't want to sacrifice anything. We don't want to give up anything. Because what we have right now makes us feel good, and it makes us feel secure, and it makes us feel loved, and it causes us to get our eyes off of God. Somebody say no distractions. No earthly ties. Our head on both sin. God is good. I can hear my old Bishop Poole saying he's good like Maxwell House coffee. Good down to the last drop. When he was dealing with me with this word, all I could say is thank you, Jesus. Because I felt a revival in my heart. I felt an enlightenment in my spirit. I felt my soul come alive once again. I remember even talking with my brother at my table. I said, I have a situation. It was just like Daniel went back to Eli and said, Father, did you call me? Hey, God. And Eli said, I didn't call you, son. I learned your name. But he came back again and said, Father, I hear you calling me. Eli said, no. But then quickly Eli understood. In the wee hours of the morning, my daughter said to me, I had a dream, Mama. And his dream was a dream that only God knew that I would be able to read. Only God knew that when Samuel went to Eli, God knew that Eli was going to say, it is not the voice, but next time you hear it, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? In the wee hours of the morning, somebody says, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn it around, and he's going to work in your favor. That's because you're blessed. If you were not blessed, he wouldn't talk to you. If you were not already blessed, if you were not already the chosen people, he wouldn't have anything to do with you. But I need you to consider what it takes to follow after the things of God. IPC, I need to know right now in this very instant, are you willing to let go of the earthly ties, your earthly distractions, and all the things that you attach yourselves to? Hey, God. It's a wake-up call, church. She said it went from a lizard to a dragon, from a dragon to a goat. Don't you know you can't tame a goat? He buck against every tame. He knocked everything over. He wreaked havoc. Christ used it as a depiction of a sheep because a sheep will follow. Amen? Do we have any followers in here today? Christ also used the things of the goat because the goat will bark at every sheep. Are there any villa goats in here today? Hey, God. But this God that I serve, this majestic creature, this God of favor, this God of life, this God of sacrifice, this God of the resurrection, this God of the second chance, this God of prayer, this God of fasting, this God of deliverance, this is the God that I choose. I don't even know. We have followed him today. Hallelujah. I just need to know, hey God, will you go where Christ is gone? I just need to know, will you walk after the things of God? I need to know, will you walk after the word of God? Hey God, I feel like sinning today. Say, I need you to consider the cause. Because I already paid it to be the boss. Hey, God. My God. Are you ready to let go of these things? The excuses, the manipulations that we pull. Come on, church. I know y'all ain't sleeping on me right now. I think for the next time I need to turn off the air conditioning. Hot people stay alert. They move because they want to fan. Come on. Am I right about it? Sister Simone, am I right about it? When they're hot, they want to fan something. Amen? They keep themselves moving. See, like you're cold-blooded. I remember my father said cold-blooded things stand still. I need you to be on fire. Somebody say fire. Notice I didn't say fire. Fire means something. Amen? You need to be on fire for Jesus. So we need to stop like we've been going along the plain church and allowing people to say they who they are in God. And it's now time to start telling the people what it costs to follow God and what they actually have to give up. Are you listening to me, ministers and prophets and deacons? When they come to the altar and say, I'm ready to surrender, you better tell them what they're giving up. You better let them know what it costs to follow Christ. Because for whatever reason, the church has been fooled and manipulated that when you follow Christ, it's all peaches and creams and beautiful roses to smell. And what I'm up in here thinking, you're going to have to smell my Chanel number 5. And if I'm working hard for God, it ain't going to be Chanel number 5 that you get a whiff of. Come on. Why? Because the things of God, when you're working hard, it costs you something. And if Christ was able to get down and dirty and step down into this realm for us, then I think we can do that for his people. Amen? What are you willing to give up today? What are you willing to let go? We're in that Lenten season where we're sacrificing some things and we're coming into our corporate fast where we're giving up some things. This is not just about prayer. This is about sacrificing what you're used to and giving up. So I need you to actually give up something so dear and so personal to you that you'll sacrifice those things unto God. God, I'm willing to let this go. Because I genuinely deserve more of you. I know that I'm worthy to have you to be a part of my DNA. I'm worthy of that because you have shown me that you love me that much. Sacrifice, church. Sacrifice, church. Sacrifice. Come on, repeat after me. Sacrifice. Say it, sacrifice. That's what it's all about. We sacrifice our own characteristics, our own DNA, for the DNA of God, the Father, the Son, that we say we love. So now it's time for us to show him.
Y'all looking at me like y'all stuck today. Y'all stuck, you see? Is this a church that's on fire? Because I don't see fire. A burn? Let me see you burn.
The work of God alone should ignite something within you that will cause you to worship him. The word of God alone should ignite something within your being that will cause you to worship him. Jeremiah said, I can't hold this thing. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Hey, God.
There's some things that you need to go back, church, and examine yourself. And say, am I really considering giving all this up for God? Am I? Some of you have allowed your own households to go lacking because you desire to feed your own thirst. I'm definitely talking to the men. If you have a household of children or women in your household, I'm definitely talking to you. You fed your own thirst long enough. Now, are you willing to walk out of the ordinance of God and do what God has called you to do? We have children in our midst. They don't have to be biologically yours, to you, for you to cover them. But you're so busy doing nothing that the house of God goes untouched, undirected, unprotected, and insecure because you're still distracted and you're tied to earthly things. Christ is showing us that we need to let go of these distractions and these earthly ties. And he said that even if you can't let go of the people that you are connected with biologically, then you're not even fit for my kingdom. This is not the word of Pastor McCray. This is the doctrine of Christ Jesus. So don't take it personal with me. Take it up with God. Amen. Amen. All standing to your feet.